case of this morning, which is United States against Eric Wagner. Mr. Zuba?
May it please the court. My name is Jim Zuba, and I represent the defendant, Eric Wagner. Eric Wagner pled guilty to selling firearms and to selling a small amount of marijuana, and his sentence was increased four levels as a result of transferring a firearm with knowledge or reason to believe that it would be used or possessed in connection with another felony offense, and this enhancement was based upon statements made by CI. Our appeal challenges the application of that enhancement. He received a 30-month sentence of imprisonment.
Now, the district court judge finds as a fact that Mr. Wagner did hear these statements that the CI was making, like I'm going to scratch off the serial number and other statements that would certainly show that a crime was going to be committed with a gun.
I agree with Your Honor. The district court did. And basically our challenge is on two grounds. One, we think that finding was clearly erroneous, and we think that is clearly erroneous based upon the transcripts and based upon the recordings. If you listen to these recordings, they are so muffled. There's so much background noise. There's a lot of hmms, unintelligibles, inarticulate statements. So we believe that finding alone should be reversed because it was clearly erroneous. But in addition,
is that what the clearly erroneous rule is all about, though? I mean, the district judge also, you know, listened to the recordings, and music or what have you also has the testimony of other people who were around who express their opinion that Mr. Wagner heard it. I mean, I'm not saying you couldn't have come out the other way, but that's, of course, not the standard.
I don't think the testimony of the others around was that Mr. Wagner heard it. The testimony of the others around were that the statements were made, and we don't contest whether or not all of the statements were made. But remember,
they heard it then, right?
But remember, Your Honor, just because a statement is made does not mean that this defendant believed or had reason to believe that the firearms would be used in connection with another felony offense. In other words, whatever the CI says, the section of the guidelines itself says believed or had reason to believe. The CI himself testified, Your Honors, and I think this is significant, that even though these two had a background, the CI and the defendant, the CI testified that the defendant had no reason to believe that he would use these firearms in connection with a drug offense or that he would file off the serial numbers. This came from the CI. So just because the CI, who is programmed by government agents, makes unsolicited statements that are not acted upon by the defendant, that are not responded to by the defendant, those statements alone, it is our position.
You didn't find that the CI told the defendant he was going to file the numbers off?
No, I'm not saying that, Your Honor.
No.
The CI, in cryptic form on the transcripts, made those statements. But my position is, on behalf of my client, that just because the CI says that,
you don't have to believe it.
The CI himself testified that... Right, you don't have to believe it, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that you think is the predicate for saying that the judge is wrong when he concluded that in his opinion he heard it and believed it?
Sure. I think that is a predicate for reversing the application of the enhancement because those statements were not acted upon, they were unsolicited, and more...
Suppose another case where some person, you know, Smith, is in the gun shop and somebody else comes in and is buying a gun and says, boy, am I really going to like this gun. I'm going to give it to all my, whatever they want to call them, compatriots in the such and such gang, the Latin Kings. At that point, I mean, the guy selling the gun isn't going to do anything necessarily. I don't know how he acts on it, but if he's told that, maybe he's never met this person before in his life, doesn't have any pre-existing impressions about his credibility, but you would at least surely have reason to believe that this gun might be used for illegal purposes.
I would think at a minimum there would need to be some sort of a statement, some sort of an acknowledgement by the defendant. Perhaps he would say something like, well, you know what, nines are much better because they're smaller or they're silent or they're cheaper.
Why is silence enough? Why, if he keeps going through with the transaction and doesn't say, hold it, buddy, you know, I'm not going to sell a gun to you if that's what you're going to do because that violates the law, go somewhere else.
Here's why. Because you are allowing the government and a CI to control an aspect of the sentence.
Well, except that had Mr. Wagner stopped the transaction, he could have controlled it. Now, I actually do think your case boils down to that second part of your argument, which is whether the conduct here is somehow so extreme or outrageous in the face of this circuit's law that we ought to do something different for sentencing purposes.
I mean, why not carve out an exception that says something along these lines? If you have an unsolicited statement by a CI that is not relied upon or acted upon...
Well, it was acted upon. He sold the weapons.
He was selling the weapons anyway. As a matter of fact...
I say, but at that stage of the game, we're talking about knowledge of what he had when he made the sale.
You know, during one of the conversations that the government relies on, the CI says, I need some nines, which means 9mm for a drug house.
Right.
9mm weren't even sold. So, I mean, doesn't that go to show you that Wagner could care less?
Might give you an idea of what the Wagner knew about who he's doing business with.
Well, I think it is a clear-cut example that Wagner had no idea and did not care and did not believe. Otherwise, he would have said, wouldn't he have said, I don't have a 9 available. I'll sell you the 380, which is what he sold. I mean, it just seems to me that it's incredibly unfair, whatever you call it, manipulation, enhancement, whatever you call it, unfair to allow a programmed CI. And remember, the agent testified himself that one of his motives was to increase the defendant's sentence. They didn't stop at 4 guns. They didn't stop at 5. They stopped at 9. Why? Because 8 is the cutoff for the next level. He testified one of his motives.
Well, your guy walked right into him, helped him out a lot.
And he pled guilty, Judge, and he knows he should be sentenced. But he shouldn't be sentenced based upon unsolicited statements. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. You can save the rest of your time for rebuttal. Mr. Peterson.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Joseph Peterson. I represent the United States of America in this matter. Your Honor, to start out with, I'll address the first issue that the defendant has raised, which is the issue regarding whether or not the district court's findings were clearly erroneous. And one thing I'd like to point out that the district court specifically found was that during one of the conversations, the defendant himself asked what was happening with the guns. What are you doing selling them on the street was the question. And that was one of the things that the district court relied on in its findings in determining that the defendant did have knowledge or reason to believe that what was going to be happening with these firearms was that they were going to be used in connection with another felony. So as to the first issue, we don't believe the defendant has demonstrated as the court pointed out earlier, there may be two conflicting conclusions that could be reached in this case, but based on the record, there's no evidence that the district court's finding was clearly erroneous. As to the second issue, the court also made specific findings that the government's conduct was not improper in this case and that the government had...
Are there any limits to this? Suppose the CI had said, I'm going to take this gun and go out and assassinate the President of the United States. What would be the consequence of that?
Well, if the defendant had sold a gun, then the enhancement would have applied. And that, again, that gave the defendant an opportunity, if he truly was not someone that would engage in the activity where he wanted to...
He's not predisposed to sell the guns, whatever the...
Correct. It would give him the opportunity to stop his conduct at that point. And that would give him even more of an opportunity than what he was given in this case. But
of course, CI told him, I'm a felon, but he wasn't really a felon. There wouldn't be a crime, would there?
Correct. Your Honor,
this just applies to sentences, not to the substance of the crime.
That's correct. Your Honor, the question or the government's conduct in this case also, in addition to raising the defendant's sentence, had other purposes. And one of the main purposes...
It sounded so flimsy to me. I mean, it seems to me, because the way the law of sentencing manipulation or entrapment or whatever you want to call it has developed, the government can take the person like Mr. Wagner, who apparently couldn't care less who he sells guns to. I mean, he'll happily sell them to people who legally can buy them, but it seems like he takes a see no evil, hear no evil approach. And you can turn him into somebody who gets a much higher sentence just by having someone come in and say, oh, you know, I'm going to scratch off all the serial numbers and I'm going to distribute it to gangs and they're going to sell drugs and, you know, whatever other story you want to give. And all of a sudden, boom, you have four levels.
Well, one of the concerns in the investigation that the agent testified to at the sentencing hearing was whether or not the defendant would have an entrapment defense. And that was one of the reasons why the confidential informant was instructed to make these statements. The confidential informant and the defendant knew each other. They were friends. So to prevent and negate an argument later that the defendant was somehow induced through this friendship, that the CI came in and he just, you know, if it had been anyone else other than this particular person, they used this friend of the defendant and that somehow induced him into doing something that he was not predisposed to do. He wouldn't sell a firearm to any other felon other than this friend. Well, these statements that the confidential informant made completely negate that argument that the defendant...
Why did they do that? It's the confidential informant who's spying them still. If it's his friend, maybe he doesn't care what his friend is going to do with the gun. I mean, I'm not sure that... It just doesn't seem like a very persuasive argument. It seems to me your position basically is we can send people in and let them say anything they want to, lie or truth, and unless the target, if you will, he's not a defendant yet at that point, unless the individual who's being tested has the good sense to back off of the transaction and almost take an affirmative step away from it, you get to use the four-level increase. But, of course, he won't have committed the crime at all if he refuses to sell the gun.
Your Honor, and there were other reasons as well that the agent pointed out, which were, and I don't agree that the government can do anything. There are limits. This is not a case where the government exceeded those limits, however. When there's legitimate reasons why agent instructs the CI to make certain statements, that conduct can't be improper. And as I already indicated, the entrapment issue, the issue of whether or not any other individuals were involved in selling the firearms to a prohibited person.
This is the bit about his father somehow possibly being involved?
That wasn't one of the main reasons, but that was a consideration. The confidential informant had mentioned that he had been involved in previous transactions, and there is no evidence in the record, and the agent never instructed the confidential informant to ask him if his father was going to be there. But another reason why the agent indicated why he told the informant to make those statements was because they were buying multiple handguns from that same store, and the confidential informant knew the defendant, and the defendant knew the confidential informant would have no reason to be purchasing the same model gun more than one time. I mean, he didn't need, you know, four handguns of the same make and model. So that was another reason why the confidential informant was asked to make those statements. There was also a drug investigation of Mr. Wagner that was going on, and each time the firearm transaction took place, there was a sale of marijuana as well, and the amounts were moving up, and the agent then met with Mr. Wagner personally and received marijuana from him, and that's all part of the consideration as to why the investigation continued, and the evidence is undisputed as why the as to why the investigation concluded. It was because the defendant won the lottery. And he was no longer in the store.
How much did he win? I thought that was wild, actually.
It was several million dollars, Your Honor. So
it's just amazing. So he wins the lottery, and his next prize is that he gets indicted for this crime. these crimes.
You know, some days they go up, some days you get the bear, and some days the bear gets you. You know?
But it seemed to me that Judge Reinhardt thought that it was quite important that you had these legitimate reasons. He makes the comment at the end of the sentencing, you know, if I thought that there was something manipulative going on, that's not something I want to see in my court.
Well, and I mean, I think that's something else that the this court can give, you know, put weight on, is Judge Reinhardt's had the opportunity to listen to all the testimony from the agent, question he was cross-examined for all his motives of why these statements were made by the confidential informant, and then he made a specific factual finding that the government's conduct was not improper in this case, and we would ask that the court consider that, and for all the reasons that I've stated so, at this point, that you affirm the sentence of the district court, and unless there's any other questions.
Thank you very much. Mr. Zubin.
So the way it stands now, Your Honors, the government can send an informant in to say whatever the informant wants to say, and based upon those statements, if the informant is properly programmed and they fit into some enhancement under the sentencing guidelines, the defendant's sentence will be enhanced. And all I'm asking for is that the defendant's sentence be enhanced, if it's going to be enhanced, based upon his conduct. Of course he should be sentenced for selling the firearms. He was. But it's my position, my client's position, that he should not be sentenced based upon programmed, unsolicited statements made by a CI which altered absolutely no behavior. Judge Reinhardt did make a statement at the end, and I think it's a very interesting statement, because what he says is, if I felt, and I want to emphasize this to law enforcement, if I felt that there were sentencing enhancement investigations on a regular basis, I would not allow it, not in my court. The facts of this case, from both the agent and from the CI, established that there was a motive. The motive was to try and do everything we can, purchase as many guns, make as many statements, to get as high of a sentence as we can get. And these other supposed explanations, entrapment, my goodness, you had 8 separate transactions. You think somebody's going to claim entrapment? Or we all know what agents do when they want to dispute entrapment. They talk about prior transactions. That's what they do to eliminate the entrapment defense. There was no questions about whether others could sell guns. That's baloney. There was one motive for these statements, and one alone. And I think that this court should not allow, it's unjust to allow these arbitrary, unsolicited, program statements to enhance somebody's sentence. I mean, my goodness, he even asked for 9mm guns, and he wasn't sold 9mm guns. There was just no conduct on behalf of the defendant acknowledging, relying on these statements. And I just think it's unfair, it's unjust, and I ask that you carve out an exception to the Garcia rule of no sentencing enhancement, or find some other way you want to call it. But the rule that I would think would come from this court is unsolicited statements by a CI that are not acted upon or relied upon in any way by a defendant should not serve to enhance his sentence. So on behalf of the defendant, I ask that you remand the case, reverse the application of enhancement number 4 with instructions that these unsolicited statements of the CI not be relied upon at the sentencing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zuba. Thank you to both counsel. And we will proceed.